Hello, and a very happy 2014. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our public libraries this hour of the program, how we value public libraries in our communities, what we use them for, has that changed dramatically over the last, say, 10 or 20 years? And what happens when a library closes? We talk about all of that this hour of the program. We'll have two guests with us. Catherine Zicker is a research analyst at the Pew Internet Project, and she focuses on technology and the role of libraries in the digital age. She's written about differences in digital access, older adults and internet use, and Americans' use of location-based services. Her recent report is How Americans Value Public Libraries in Their Communities. 54% of Americans have used a public library in the past year, and 72% live in a library household. Also joining us this hour is Paula Kiley, and Paula is director of Milwaukee Public Library. We'll be welcoming phone calls. I don't know about you, but I love libraries, hardware stores, plant stores, and bookstores. I just can't leave them. Can't get out of them. Can't leave without something. So let's discuss libraries and the valuable service and the changing services they provide. Our phone number for you to join the conversation this hour is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Let's welcome our guest, Catherine. Hello. Thank you so much for being with us and for writing about this.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, great pleasure. Paula, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for the invitation to be with you.
Yeah, our great pleasure. Let's start with you, Paula. Tell me, you've been in libraries for a while. How do you think, as a director of a library, libraries have changed in the past 10 or 20 years? I would imagine the internet has changed things fairly dramatically, hasn't it?
Yes, the internet certainly has had a huge impact on all libraries, not just public. But, 20 years ago, I actually started my career in libraries after, spending my childhood and young adult life in Milwaukee using public libraries. So, I have seen the change from kind of a front row seat. And, as much as has changed, particularly with computers and the internet and online resources, and now the popularity of ebooks and other online resources, there's still a lot that remains the same in public libraries. Public libraries is an important place in our community, a gathering place, and still a place to get print books. That is still a valuable resource, as well as getting the help of professional librarians. But we have seen a lot of changes in how that help is delivered.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed, you've done this wonderful new study, Catherine, have you noticed that the number of people who go to libraries has dropped at all in the last 5 years, 10 years?
Well, we've noticed a small drop in the percentage of people who have used a public library just in the past year. But overall, I think I agree with Paula that a lot remains the same in how people use public libraries, how they think about them. Because even though people really identify public libraries with books, when you ask people about the first thing that comes to mind when they think of libraries, that's what they say, books. Not even reading, but print books.
Mm-hmm.
So even though that's really important, we see libraries used in all sorts of ways, as community centers, as places to gather, and share information with other people in your community, a place to take your children for events. And the role of librarians and the role of having people to help you find information and navigate all these new online resources and information resources is something that we've definitely noticed as a major way of how people use libraries, and something that we're really going to try to keep an eye on in the future.
And you have pinpointed in your study, Catherine, certain groups of people, disabled people, people who are job searchers, people who may not have internet at home. There are certain populations that really depend on all the information and the services that librarians can provide, right?
No, that's right. And in general, people who live in lower-income households are more likely to rely on libraries for all sorts of services. But this is the digital age, and so many resources are online. And so one group that I think a lot of people don't always think about are people who use the internet but don't have home access. And this is one group that really relies on libraries just for basic technological resources. Computers, the internet, printers are really big. Think about trying to do your taxes without a computer, without a printer.
Right.
And so, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And so about half of unemployed and retired respondents said that they really rely on librarian assistance in finding information. Job seekers tell us that the job resources at libraries are very important to them and their families. And people living with a disability are especially likely to say that the help they receive applying for government services is very important to them.
And tell me about librarians and the kinds of services they're able to provide, Paula, and what actually people, you probably have a million stories to tell of people who've come to a librarian and asked for this or that or whatever. What services are most needed?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was thinking about this recently, and I think part of, or one of the questions asked in the survey was about people's experience in the libraries, and it was impressive that such a high percentage have only had good experiences. And I do think that accounts, or that's accounted for by, I think, really the atmosphere of the library and the professionalism of our staff, whether it's Milwaukee libraries or other libraries, that the people that work in libraries are really here to help others. And so I think one of the most basic services and most important services that we are providing and continue to provide are the reference services of the librarians. It doesn't matter what your question is. if you need help, whether it's finding a book, logging onto a computer, doing some genealogical work, finding a job, learning about a diagnosis that you got from your doctor, any one of those things, any one of those questions are valid questions, and we are here to help you. So that's a really important service, and I think one that is often overlooked by critics of public libraries, those people who say that libraries are no longer needed. You know, it is true that we find a lot of information on the internet, but not everything is there.
Right.
So, and having a person to talk with, someone to look you in the eye and help you, is often really makes a difference. But there are lots of other services that we're providing, computer classes, lots of programs for youth. I know the Pew Research Center did a study recently on parents and how they use public libraries, and this is really an important constituency group for us.
And it's interesting you picked up on, and I think this is true, and I'm glad you studied this, Catherine, that most people, a vast majority of people, when you ask them, have you had a good experience at the library, they all say they've had a good experience at the library. They like going to the library.
No, that's true. People feel very positively towards public libraries, and part of that, we've noticed in focus groups that we've done with people where we talk to them in small groups about libraries, is that everyone seems to have some story from their childhood about how they use the public library, about a librarian who was very helpful, or maybe they didn't necessarily talk to a librarian, but they had that book that was their favorite book that they checked out over and over.
Sure.
And over again. And it's really amazing that libraries are so pervasive and still so positively seen throughout so many different groups of people.
And I would imagine, I'm old enough, certainly, Paula, to remember going to libraries with my mother, who loved libraries, and we would just spend, you know, a couple hours going through all of the stacks to find out books that we wanted to check out from the library. I would imagine there's still a lot of that goes on in libraries, right? We browse the books.
That's true. It's very true. Saturday afternoons at the library is a great time to see families in particular who are coming in to do just that, browse books, or to attend programs that we offer for parents with children. But, you know, regardless of the age of our visitors, the computers can't really be, really underestimated as far as how well they're used. Even in our children's room downtown, we have 30 computers that have been in place there ever since we opened the new room in 1998, and those computers are busy all of the time. So, you know, and the kids seem to be naturals at it. You know, they sit down, they're courageous,
yes.
And of course they are digital natives. Unlike many people who are my age and older, who did not grow up with computers. And so one of the most important services that we've offered over the last, I would say, 15 years is computer training. And we offer this at all of our locations, and I know this is a trend in libraries throughout the country. We were very fortunate in the last year to be able to retain 6 positions with the support of the city. These were 6 positions that we were able to recruit to help people use computers. They were originally funded with stimulus broadband dollars. And, of course, those grants have ended. And so the city provided the funding that we could continue that work in the next few years.
And what important work that is. I've frequently said, I sort of pick up knowledge here and there on computers, but there are lots and lots of people who never studied this in school, who don't have that let's dive right in daredevil kind of attitude when you're 5 or 6 years old and you figure it out by yourself. This is a really needed service, I would think.
It is. And the numbers, as I say, even though we've been doing this for 15 years, there's not a class that we offer that doesn't get filled. And we've got classes that are very structured that offer assistance in how to use certain products that we use on computers, such as Word and Excel. There's also a class on just how to search the Internet. But we have another set of classes, particularly for those people who have been very hard hit by the recession, people looking for jobs. And so these job drop-in labs really help people one-on-one with hands-on assistance in locating jobs and then applying for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need to use a computer these days to apply for any kind of job.
They're valuable services. What about teenagers, younger people in our society? I know you've question them, Catherine, and Paul, I'm interested in your experience as well. We have heard they're not reading books anymore. They're glued to their smartphones and to their computers. They read a lot, but it's very short. They're not heavily involved in perusal of anything that's longer than maybe a page or two, and thus we have to respond to their technological needs. Are they, Catherine, using libraries in an entirely different fashion, or are they even going to libraries?
Those are such great questions, and we get those questions all the time. So I can tell you that young people are using libraries. They're reading in print. Actually, when you compare the library habits of younger patrons and older patrons, there really aren't that many differences, just
really,
in the broad outlines of what they do. Everyone borrows print books. Everyone browses the stacks. These are consistently two of the top activities we've asked about. And when you look at how young people are reading, so especially maybe 16, 17-year-olds who are at the tail end of high school, print is really the backbone of their reading habits. It's still the foundation of their reading habits for school and, in many cases, for reading for pleasure in their personal time. So that's something that we've seen that I think is really surprising to a lot of people, that younger patrons, younger readers are not necessarily reading e-books.
Hmm.
And actually, in many cases, it's their parents who are more likely to be reading e-books. Adults in their late 30s and early 40s are particularly likely to own tablets and to read. If they read, they read their books as e-books a lot of the time. So that's one thing that we've seen that I think is really surprising to a lot of people.
And Paula, what kinds of programs do you plan for that population?
Well, I want to agree with Catherine. We are seeing the same thing in practice as she has seen in her survey. Teenagers are continuing to use libraries, and surprisingly for very traditional reasons, to do their homework and to find books for that homework and to find books for pleasure. Talking with teenagers at the library, they really do prefer print, which is kind of surprising. And we have found that regardless of age, how people read, whether it's electronically or in a traditional print book, is a very personal choice. So that's been kind of interesting and always a good subject of conversation. But we also look to our teenagers to tell us what sort of programs they want. We're here to offer them assistance with their schoolwork, but they're often interested in things like poetry and creative writing, lots of technology. And so we engage them in helping to formulate those programs. At the library here in Milwaukee, we have a group called TAB, our Teen Advisory Board. And they're recruited through local high schools, and they meet with librarians to help us decide what sort of offerings to work on. And they also volunteer in the libraries and help us. So it's a great leadership opportunity for them. It is true that teenagers have a lot of other choices, a lot of other activities that they can participate in, and they may not read as much for pleasure as they did when they were younger and their parents were still reading to them, or they will when they're older. And it's really, I think, a matter of time, available time. But it's encouraging to see that teenagers are still reading and still interested in using the library.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Welcoming phone calls for both our guests. We're talking about the importance of our libraries, how they have changed to adapt to a more technological, internet-savvy population, what we use them for, the programs that they offer, our relationship with our libraries, what we think about them. Almost all of us say that we've had only good experiences when we've gone to the library. And what about, I'm sure that some of you are in communities where libraries have closed because in tough economic times, there have been closings of libraries. Has that happened? What would happen to a community if it lost its library? Has that been happening to many communities around the country? What do you use your library for? Well, here's how you reach us. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now. We have two guests with us. Paula Kiley is director of Milwaukee Public Library. Catherine Zicker is a research analyst at the Pew Internet Project, and they've done major studies on our use of libraries. Ray in Rhinelander. Hi, Ray.
Hi. I want to compliment your two presenters on what they're doing. It's very well presented. But most of all, I grew up around Milwaukee and in Milwaukee, and the Milwaukee Public Museum is one of the natural wonders of architecture in the United States. It is just magnificently set up, and I enjoyed many hours going in there, especially for a variety of different times in my life. And when I went to Marquette University, I would use the library there, but then the Public Library had other reference materials and things. And when I was growing up, when I wanted quiet times, like during high school times and other things, I would go into the library. And so it's been very mentally healthy for me and many others that I know to have libraries and having the choice with that. And my question is, and I'll take the answer off the air, is what do the two of you think is the evolution of past, present, and future with libraries in reference to the ongoing technology? Do you think it's a detriment or a plus? You've covered some of that, but what do you really feel from your professional opinion? Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for the call. Paula, you want to start?
Well, that is really the number one question that I receive and that people want to talk about is really what is the future of the public library in light of technology? Well, you know, in my opinion, in my experience, libraries are helped by technology. Technology is simply a tool that all of us use in our lives, whether it's business or personal. And in the work of public libraries and librarianship, we have used technology as it's become available to us. We've used it to become more efficient, to do sort of routine tasks more quickly. We have installed new technology so people can check out their own materials and not have to wait in line for a staff member. And, of course, all of these online resources are so important and sort of bring the library into your home, because we don't have to rely on what we can find through a Google search You can come to your public library website and find subscription databases that can help answer the questions that you have. So I think that technology is going to continue to evolve and shape the way we offer services and the way we find information. But library as place will continue to be important. We've done some surveys of the public over the years, and it's very clear that people value the library as part of their community. And one of the things that impressed me on this latest Pew Research report was how often the word community was used. You know, Kathleen, you mentioned the idea of closing a library and what it means. You know, it was clear that, and it was clear here in Milwaukee when there was the potential of closing libraries, that people really cared about it.
Yes.
And that there was fear of what it would mean for their neighborhoods. So I think libraries have a bright future.
Catherine, would you like to respond?
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with Paula. This is such a fascinating question, and it's something that everyone is thinking about, because libraries are, they're widely used, and they are dealing with a lot of the issues around print publications that a lot of other organizations and institutions are working on right now, like newspapers. And so I think this is something that brings up a lot of people's anxieties about the future of books, the future of reading, what it means for our society as a whole, with all these, this new technology that now just isn't on our desktops, but it's in our pockets, and we have all these screens surrounding us. But one of the most interesting things we found is that most people think that libraries are doing a good job of keeping up with new technologies. That we haven't seen any overwhelming evidence that people don't think libraries are as necessary, even for finding information in the age of Google, which I think is just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And so, on the one hand, we have all this information online and so many different resources and things that you can find from your living room, from your bedroom, from your phone. But at the same time, when there's so much information and so many different types of so many sources, sometimes people feel overwhelmed, and they want someone to help them sort through all of that. And that's something that librarians have been doing for a really long time. So in some ways, some things haven't really changed. People still need to find information, and now they might need a little more help figuring out which is the good information, which mm-hmm. is the bad, what can they trust. So I think that will be something that it'll be interesting to see how libraries adapt and how people fit libraries into their information habits going forward. But at the same time, like Paul mentioned, libraries are also community spaces, and they're resources for their communities. 90% of people said that if their public library closed, it would impact their community.
Oh, it'd be a terrible thing for a community to not have a library. That's part of a community, right? Yeah. Thank you so much, Ray, for your call. Let's go to Frank in Green Bay next. Hi, Frank.
Hi there. I was calling because I live in Green Bay now, but my hometown is Birmingham, England, and they have just opened a new central library for a city of 1 million people that cost them $250 million to build because they think that it's necessary to be able to compete economically as a major city. I wonder if your guests think that we have any sign of a similar level of civic commitment to libraries in Wisconsin. Here in Brown County, which is a quarter of 1 million people, the Brown County Board seems to have trouble even spending a few $100,000 to repair the roof of the Central Library, let alone updating it.
Paula, you want to start?
Yes, absolutely. I sometimes will tell the story of my first visit to the Nashville Public Library. They have a beautiful new library that, well, now is about 10 or 12 years old. And in this great reading room that they have, it has a floor-to-ceiling window, and it's two stories high, and around the top of the walls there is a statement, and it's written, and it says, "Great cities have great libraries." And as you look around the room, what follows are the names of the great cities in our country. New York and Atlanta, Los Angeles, San Francisco. You know, I'm sorry to say that Milwaukee is not on that list, and part of my motivation day to day is to get Milwaukee on that list. But I agree with Frank that there is civic commitment that's needed for public libraries. Public libraries are a public good, a civic good, and we do need to rely on the electorate and our elected officials to support public libraries. We have been very fortunate in Milwaukee to have come through the sort of the difficult years of the recession, and we are now on the brink of rebuilding four of our neighborhood libraries. We have found a way to do this in a relatively inexpensive manner using a public-private partnership. We opened one of these libraries in 2011. This was the Villard Square Library, built below an apartment complex. And we are currently building a new library on the east side of the city that will share in a development that includes 100 apartments. So in our city, we do see this as a very important part of not only the fabric of our communities, but also part of how we learn and educate our children, and we learn ourselves throughout our life.
Mm-hmm. And Catherine, what's been happening nationally with libraries? Are we losing them or growing them?
I wish I had data on that. I think that's a fascinating question. Because we do know that people have had really positive views of public libraries and just have really positive views of what they can do for their communities. And what I think is, it's also very interesting that even when people don't say that their public library closing would have a major impact on them personally or on their family, they tend to tell us that it still would be very important. It still is very important to their community to have the public library there. On the other hand, I'm afraid I don't have any data on how that translates to ballot measures or other measures in the voting booth.
Isn't it interesting, though, that Birmingham, England advertises the fact that they have a world-class library, Paula? I like that, don't you?
I do. And, you know, I don't have any data either, but I watch to see what other cities are doing. And Calgary, north of us, is getting ready to build a new central library. Again, over $200 million will be invested. Washington, D.C., is working on rebuilding their central library and has been opening new branches over the last few years, 2 to 3 branches a year, as a matter of fact. Salt Lake City is adding branches to its system. So if you look around the country, you will see these investments. And while they may have slowed down because of the economy, when the time is right, most cities are investing in their libraries because they do see them as the caller suggested, as an economic advantage. If we were trying to attract workers to your city or new companies to do business in your city, libraries, public libraries, are considered an asset.
Sure.
And so I think it's a smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Frank, so much for your call. Lynn in Eau Claire, hi.
Hello, Kathleen. Wonderful, wonderful subject. I am the steward of a free little library, which will never take the place of a major library. And I'm in Eau Claire. We have a lovely, wonderful, modern, all-inclusive library. But there are people who shift work, and there's, you know, people who have different, they don't get out. And these little libraries fill that niche. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to meet your neighbors. My mother, God bless her, just instilled into me a love of books. And this is my way of giving back and honoring my mom at the same time by keeping my little library filled with, you know, wonderful offerings. And to me, it's through literacy that we can pull ourselves out of anything. And I understand that, you know, a library is great, but these little things, and there's over 7,000 of them worldwide now, have a place too.
Right. Now, did you build this yourself, Lynn, or can you buy these
actually,
somewhere?
No.
No.
I heard Todd Ball on Wisconsin Public Radio, and I got in touch with him, and he came out and put it up for me.
Oh.
I bought it. Now there are plans. You go to freelittlelibrary.org, and there's plans, and you just send, and you pay for, to have it registered. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of commissioned another one that is being sponsored by one of the teen literacy groups at Memorial High.
Great.
Here.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So they're wonderful.
Yeah, they are. I like those. Paula and Catherine?
I agree. I live in the Washington Heights neighborhood in Milwaukee, and I think that we've got about 16 of them in, throughout the neighborhood. I was lucky enough to be involved in a project in the city. There were a number of these libraries that were installed, and the excitement around it and just sort of this conversation around reading was really wonderful. And we've, you know, the whole city has them around, and I just think they're great. I mean, anything that gets people reading and talking about books and literature and ideas, how can you argue against that?
Well, you just can't. You can't. Catherine, are these springing up all over the country? Are you aware of them?
I know this is something we tend to focus on, these big national trends, and I love hearing about these very small, micro-local little libraries that pop up, because we do hear from people that they are generally interested in having sort of more access points to libraries. We asked people if they would be interested in using library kiosks throughout their communities, sort of like Redbox or like one of these little free libraries. And we found a pretty strong interest in just having more ways for people to access materials. And also many libraries, for instance, offer ebooks. Most libraries, I believe, according to the American Library Association, offer ebooks for patrons to check out, and you can check out ebooks from home. You don't need to even go in, but most people aren't aware of them. When we ask people if their local library lends out ebooks, the most common response we get is, "I don't know." So I think being able to access materials from wherever you are is something that a lot of people are very interested in, and that's always the tricky part with print materials, is you generally can't order them from your library books from, you know, from your living room.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Lynn, for the call. I've been wanting to put one of those up. I'll have to investigate. New Year's resolution. I was looking for one. That's a good one. Mark in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. I did not tune until just after 20 minutes into the show, so I may indeed have missed something, but it became quickly apparent from Kathleen's comments and the lack of any direct challenge to them that everything's always wonderful at the library, meaning libraries in general or those in Wisconsin in particular, that it's some kind of fantasy ideal bureaucracy where you never run into what people are familiar with in talking about, say, the DMV. And in other words, varying and sometimes bad standards of performance and behavior at an institution that we all agree is critical to the community for the reasons that have been cited. And so far, the only criticism of any kind that I heard is from the Englishman, also apparently here in Green Bay, who's concerned about funding and whether Brown County would repair the roof. I haven't noticed the problems with the roof. I wouldn't be surprised, but I can tell you that there are problems under the roof. The library, like many public institutions or institutions in general, has widely varying qualities of performance and behavior by staff. Some are very good and are even models, and some are bad. And in my short experience of about 2 months in Green Bay, I've encountered some who are incompetent, who are surly, and who, much worse than either of those things, are retaliatory. If you politely and professionally observe specific concrete things that are wrong, for instance, if they don't know their own policies and procedures, if they make mistakes in lending and receiving returns of items, if you note such a thing more than once, You can find yourself having nasty notes made about you in the system, and finding management to be hostile and unresponsive. And it is regrettable, and I think that a note of caution and criticism and reality should be injected into this conversation. In total agreement with the importance of libraries, it's all the more important that there be credible lines of accountability, of serious adult responsibility that's going to do something other than just circle the wagons around the staff and attack a messenger or a whistleblower.
Well, I don't know what your experience has been, Mark, but I sure haven't run into that at any libraries I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of them in my whole life. Of course, there are staff everywhere who are not very friendly, but I would think that what he's saying here is somewhat an aberration. Am I right, or are there staffing problems, or are there people understaffed, and so they're overworked, or pick up a thread for me?
Well, it's unfortunate that the caller, Mark, that you've had that experience. I know if I was the director of your library in Green Bay, I would want to hear from you about your concerns. You know, I think with the budget reductions, people feeling stressed, I mean, sometimes this does create a more difficult situation for employees. But I think this is unusual. You know, as a library user and a librarian for the last, 20 years, I've worked with this staff in Milwaukee for many of those years and have never been anything but impressed with their work. Now, you know, some of our branches and some libraries around the state and the country, we do have smaller staffs. And that may create some difficulty in their delivering service. But I guess my message to you would be, if you haven't communicated with the director of your library, I would really encourage you to do that. I know if I were in that person's place, I'd want to hear from you.
We're taking more phone calls in a moment. We're talking about the importance of our public libraries, how they have changed as we've been using the internet more often, the services they provide for community space, for programming for all ages, for people who are seeking jobs, for the disabled. And here's how you reach us. Our guests, by the way, are Paula Kiley, director of Milwaukee Public Library, and Catherine Zicker, who is a research analyst at the Pew Internet Project. And she has written extensively about libraries and just finished a report released a couple weeks ago, How Americans Value Public Libraries in Their Communities. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to phone calls again, 800-486-8655. Alice in Fitchburg, hi.
Hi. I just had to call because I heard you talking about some libraries are closing. And 2 years ago, Fitchburg built its first and only brand-new library.
Ooh!
And we are so proud of it. We're a community of 25,000 people, so it's a good-sized library. And it is being used just tremendously. And I'm on the board for the Friends of the Fitchburg Library, so I feel real connected to it. But we don't have a downtown in Fitchburg, and I think right now, the library is truly building the sense of community for our little town.
So how did it come about? How did you get it built, Alice?
Well, to tell you the truth, it wasn't easy. But we started a friends group before we had a library, and I don't think that's ever been done before. And so we started having book sales out of an empty place that they gave it to us for rent-free. And so once a week we'd have book sales, and we'd talk about how wonderful it would be to have a library, and we'd have little social gatherings. We just did everything we could to raise awareness in order to pass the referendum. And that was really, really difficult because it divided our community terribly. 50% said, we don't need a library. We're right next to Madison, for gosh sake. And the other 50% said, but we need a library. And the statistics are showing that right now, 3,600 visitors per week to our library. I think that's pretty astounding.
That's great. Catherine, would you like to respond?
I just think that's a really interesting point about having a place for the immune to gather, and that's something that we've definitely seen throughout our work. Just that there a lot for a lot of communities, there often aren't places for people to go and meet with other people. Maybe places that used to exist have closed. Even in some communities, there isn't a Blockbuster or any DVD rental place. So that, I just think it's really interesting. There's so many places that have lost these organizations, institutions, these gathering places that people used to go and see each other. And in many ways, libraries are sort of stepping into that gap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really great to hear about your library, and look forward to hearing about it in the future.
Yeah, congratulations on your successful building of a library. That's wonderful. Paul, I was talking with a coworker earlier today about how, because of the internet, we may now prepare ourselves in different ways before we even go to the library, that you can access, can you reserve books now online, or can you browse through the internet and then come and get your books?
Oh, Kathleen, I'm just so glad you asked that question. Absolutely. You know, in Milwaukee, and I think lots of libraries throughout Wisconsin and the country, have really terrific websites and apps for your smartphone. And I'll give you an example. I was reading a book over the weekend, and I watched a DVD on a subject I was quite interested in. It was a subject related to history. And as I was sitting in my living room, and the names of these authors came up in the broadcast, I pulled out my smartphone, and I opened the library app. I searched the catalog, and for those books that we had, which was about, you know, I think all but one, I put a hold on them.
Oh.
The following day, the books were waiting for me at the library. And, of course, I'm lucky enough to go to the library every day.
Right.
So I pick up my holds and then go home. But, yes, I think that's a great observation, that we are preparing for our library visits in many different ways. And the earlier comment that was made about the Express or the Redbox model, I think is something that we're very interested in here in Milwaukee. But I think what it points out is that people are really interested in convenience. And so the public library needs to be thinking about that and make it convenient and easy for people to use the library. Just a month or two ago, the first express vending library in the country opened, I believe it was in Norman, Oklahoma. Milwaukee will, if not be the second, will be at least the third city in the country to have such a library.
Oh.
And we have been kind of watching the market for the last 5 years or so, and there is finally a product that we believe will do a good job, and we're going to be installing this near the Silver Spring Neighborhood Center and West Lawn Garden homes. And this will be on 64th, just south of Silver Spring, and will be very much like a red box, but it will hold not just DVDs, it will hold books.
Excellent.
And CDs. And people can request things that live in the neighborhood, and we will deliver to that location. So, you know, whether it's a little free library or your, you know, beautiful new Fitchburg Public Library, or one of these vending libraries, I think people really want access to materials. The more convenient we can make it, the better off we'll be.
Let's go to an email from Alex in Milwaukee. We've talked a lot about community throughout the discussion. What are some ways libraries are becoming more innovative and becoming learning centers? Do you see that being a trend as technology increases? Also, have librarians become more tour guides with increased access to databases? What are other ways that specifically the role of the librarian has changed? Catherine?
This is one of those things that's just a fascinating local story throughout the country, because we'll hear all the time from individual libraries about lending out really interesting materials, such as I've heard about libraries that lend out garden tools or will lend out like a local expert on a topic.
Oh.
To tell you or a group about some topic. Let's see. We've heard about all sorts of different things that libraries are trying. really, and it's really hard to capture as a national trend just because so many libraries, so many public libraries are just trying to respond to the needs of their communities, which can vary greatly from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that we've noticed with whenever we talk to public librarians, talk to library staff members, is a lot of times they're just seen as the help desk for not just technology or library-related issues, but just for life. So if you go into a library, I'm sure Paula has heard stories like this or experienced it. Right after Christmas, people will bring in their new e-reader or their new tablet still in the box and say, I want to check out e-books. How do I get started?
Right.
Or people will come in and they will want help. They'll say they want help downloading a form, like someone's to apply for government benefits, but they really need help setting up an email address so that they can register for this service, need help navigating some of these online services, especially if they don't use computers a lot. So just in many different ways, we hear about the ways that librarians are often sort of drafted into helping people mm-hmm. with different tasks that maybe they probably didn't expect in library school.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. Alice, thanks very much for the call. Amy in Lodi. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that Fitchburg does have a very nice library, by the way.
Good.
I've been there. But my husband and I, you know, live on not a fixed income, but we're both self-employed, so we try to remain within our budget. And we use the DeForest Library a lot, which is pretty new, and it's huge. And it's really, really, it's a neat library if anybody gets a chance to get out there and see it, because it's built in a Norwegian style, so it's got a high, high, high ceiling.
Oh.
But I was just going to say that I'm kind of proud of myself because I have two little boys that get excited about going to the library.
Aww.
Because that's where they get their access to the internet other than school.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all. I just love libraries.
Good. Thank you, Amy. Thanks for the call. Deborah in Milwaukee. Hi.
Oh, hi. You know, I grew up in the UP, and we have a wonderful library, the Peter White Public Library. But here in Milwaukee, I took a computer class at Atkinson Library. I don't know how old it is. It's one of the older ones. I tend to like those. And after every class, we got to we had to write like a little summary of like what our commentary on what how we liked the classes. And when it was finished, someone from Central Library called me and asked me if I would write a letter stating the you know my appreciation and what the pluses were. So I wondered, in my big question is, like, in regards to internet service, does the mobile, do they still have computer classes, and does the mobile library still operate, and do they have internet?
Paula.
Well, our classes will continue, and Deborah, I want to thank you for writing that letter. I think with your help, we were able to keep those six positions that I mentioned earlier who are actually teaching the classes. And I have been to
nice.
One of the classes at Atkinson. Our mobile library is no longer in service, has not been for some years. But we do have high-speed access in all of our locations. We have Wi-Fi access, wireless. And the connection is strong enough that if you have your own device, and need to connect when we're not open. If you walk up to the building and try to log in, you'll more than likely get a signal.
All right. There's some good information to end this show. Thank you both so much for being with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, our great pleasure to have both of you here. Catherine Zicker is research analyst at the Pew Internet Project. You can Google them. They've done lots of studies. The latest is on how Americans value public libraries in their communities. And we thank Paula Kiley, who is director, Milwaukee Public Library, for being with us. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour. And thanks to Lisa Nalbandian for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee, a mere blocks from the gorgeous Central Library. Thanks, everybody, for listening and for calling. We'll be with you again on Monday. As I said, all things political will be our topic Monday at 1 o'clock. We'll have two really good guests and a whole new year of politics to talk about. Lots of elections, midterm year, even-numbered year. Thanks for listening. Great conversations ahead on the Ideas Network.